Quentin had never seen a real parade before. He certainly hadn't been in one, and most certainly hadn't been the guest of honor. Ionite City's rad-free dome was 2 miles in diameter. A full circle around Fifth Ring Road made for a trip of over 3 miles. 3 slow miles. Even with a phalanx of riot-geared Quith Warrior police dishing out random beatdowns, adoring football fans were still climbing over barriers and running up to the 16 grav train cars that traveled down the road's center lev track.
This is crazy!
Don Pine sat on Quentin's right.
I've never seen anything like this!
Don nodded. He was smiling, waving, and occasionally pointing at someone in the crowd, although it was unclear to whom.
You'll get used to this, Q. At least I hope you do. As many times as I've done this, it's hard to be jaded looking at all these happy faces. Just you wait until you win the big one. This is nothing in comparison.
Ionite City's urban dome normally held somewhere around 110,000 residents in claustrophobic closeness. Considering the dome was just about the only place most of the Ionite Kraken's players could breathe, that was where they held the parade. And that was where an estimated 1 million additional beings had packed in tight. Quentin felt an elbow bump on his left arm. He turned to look at Yitzhak, who sat in the seat to his left.
Q, smile, will ya? Maybe try not to look like you're about to have dental surgery?
Shuck you, Zach.
Quentin smiled and waved. It was hard to think that just hours earlier, there had been functioning roads, packed sidewalks, grab cars, taxis, trucks, and trains. Now, nothing but humans, heavy G-humans, and the 3 castes of Quith, some key, and even a few Sklorno females all wrapped up from head to toe. Sentients lined the barriers, at least 100 deep.
Don't worry about it. No one's here to see you anyway, kid. They're here to see their hero!
Yitzhak stood, holding his T2 tourney MVP trophy high, waving it at the adoring crowd. Quentin had to smile at the third-string quarterback's exuberance. Zach was soaking up the moment. The Krakens had earned promotion to Tier 1 with their semifinal win over the Texas Earthlings, while the Tillage Spider Bears had won their promotion with the semifinal victory over the Citadel Aquanauts. The actual Tier 2 tourney championship game hadn't mattered. That was why Yitzhak started. Both Quentin and Don Pine had set out the final championship game, as had most of the starters. The Chillage Spider Bears had done the same, fielding an entire team of backups. That was just smart football. Both teams had already qualified for Tier 1. Let the starters rest up for the big time. But Yitzhak didn't care about starters or second string or third string. He'd played his butt off and led the Krakens to a win. That win meant a championship, and that meant a parade. Quentin, Don, and Yitzhak rode in the front seat of the second train car. Since Ionite City was domed, weather was always controlled, and all the train cars were open air. Public transit train cars had 7 rows of species-specific seats that always went in the same order. Quith Leader and Warrior, then Human, Heavy G Human, Key, and Sklorno. Human rows had 5 seats, Heavy G only 3 to handle their wider bodies. Sklorno rows had those strange abdomen-supporting seats the ladies required. Key seats were a little more than flat beams that allowed the long creatures to rest their multiple legs. Quith workers had their own train cars, as they weren't allowed to use the same facilities as leaders and warriors. The 3 quarterbacks had a train car all to themselves. City leaders had wanted to stretch the parade out, so each of the 16 cars in the procession held 3 to 5 players or team staff. The car ahead of Quentin's was the parade's lead car. It held 3 Quith leaders, Coach Hokor the Hookchest, Greedock the Splithead, and an orange and black furred leader that Don had said was the mayor of Ionite City. The mayor apparently had white fur but painted it up in Kraken's colors for the big parade. In the seat behind those leaders rode Chota the Bright and Virok the Mean, who had returned along with Greedock. Quentin couldn't even look at them without feeling a simmering rage. Both of the linebackers had casts on their legs. Quentin thought he extricated Virok from goon duty, but apparently there was more work to be done. The linebacker's primary job was now football, but it was still dangerous enough that Greedock would use him whenever the situation demanded it. For a public event like this, Virok and Chota would stay close to Greedock, their leader, their shamaka. Even Doc, the team's physician, participated in the parade. He flew in slow circles around the lead car, his wide stingray-like wings gracefully pushing him along. Orange and black streamers trailed from his tapered tail. In the train cars somewhere behind Quentin were all of his teammates. Like they did whenever there was a crowd, his eyes scanned the human faces, hunting for a familiar one. one he assumed he would remember, but he could not be sure. Quentin again felt an elbow hit his shoulder. Yitzhak leaned in close to Quentin's ear.
Q, come on! This is FaceTime for you. Pay attention to the crowd.
I am paying attention.
No, you're staring these sentients down like they're linebackers showing a blitz. This is part of the game, Q. We need to bring your popularity up so we can get you some fat endorsement money.
I get paid plenty.
Yeah, right. Who's your agent?
I don't have one.
Seriously?
Greedonk bought my existing contract. I don't need an agent.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Brother, I'll make a few calls. I can help you.
Quentin shook his head.
Thanks, Third String, but I can actually change my own diaper from time to time.
Yitzhak waggled the MVP trophy in front of Quentin's face.
Third String? Hey, C, just run your hands across this bad boy.
Quentin took the offered trophy. It was rather nice. A wooden base with a thin chrome pole that supported a regulation-sized football made of faceted crystal. The trophy caught the lights from the sun high above, sparkling with intense rainbow colors.
Nice, huh?
Quentin handed it back.
Yep, that's a sweet piece of hardware.
Damn right it is. Now, if you don't mind, I'm gonna revel in my moment.
Yitzhak raised the trophy high in both hands, smiling. Quentin sat, his hand waving like an automaton while his eyes went back to searching the crowd. And then he saw something that held his attention. Off to the right, on the outside of the ring road, a human wearing a Kraken's jacket. The man visually scanned the parade vehicles much the same way Quentin scanned the crowd. Not looking at something, looking for something. Something in particular. Quentin suddenly realized he was looking at the crowd like he was reading a defense. That human guy he'd just noticed, for example. The guy's eyes darted around like a linebacker hunting for an open gap, looking for a lineman's pointing foot to give away the direction of the play. And then Quentin noticed two large humans in front of the linebacker man. They looked like defensive linemen. Quentin stared closer. The two big humans held that same aura of intensity as the first man. And they were right in front of him, one on his left, one on his right. Positioned in front like blockers. Blockers that were about to clear a hole. Quentin had spent a decade working in the mines of Mycovi, a place where people died almost every day. Whether it was cave-ins, round bugs, or another worker, to stay alive you had to learn to read people. Read their faces, scan for bad moods, for desperation, for anything that could make one person want to kill another. The mines taught him that all the toughness in the galaxy is no armor against a knife in the back, and the Purist Nation had a lot of knives. Quentin survived a decade in the mines because he knew how to read people. Read bad people. And that linebacker looking human and his two blockers, they looked bad.
Yitzhak, let me hold your trophy for a second.
No way! Know why? Because you're not the MVP, Q. Sure, you're the franchise and all that, but old Yitzhak is the—
Quentin stood and reached to his left. His eyes stayed on the three humans, but his backhanded sweep plucked the crystal MVP trophy right out of Yitzhak's clutches.
Hey! Come on, give it back!
Quentin just shook his head. The three humans pressed toward the barrier, to the line of Quith Warrior police. Quentin saw that the men would reach the barriers just about the time Greedock's train passed their position. Quentin felt a hand on his right shoulder.
Yeah, what is it?
Quentin canted his head toward the men. Don looked, taking it in for a second.
They trouble?
Is who trouble? And can I have my trophy back, please?
The two big humans leaned forward and threw Quith workers out of the way, picking them up and tossing them aside. Orange and black-clad bodies flew, some pushed down, some diving for cover. The closest cops, one Quith warrior, one key, turned to address the surging threat.
Stay behind the barrier!
The officers brandished shock batons and moved to the barrier to use it as a partial shield. They did everything right to handle the two blockers, but they weren't ready for the third man. The two big humans jumped on the barrier and dove at the cops, catching stun batons full in the chest. Both humans shook from the electrical charge, but their momentum carried them over the barriers and into the cops, pushing the cops back just enough to create a seam. The first human squeezed through, hurdling the barrier like a running back jumping over a fallen lineman. Quentin stared, timing the man's run. Quentin's left hand held the crystal football, his right the chrome stand connected to the base. A quick bend, and the chrome post snapped off clean.
Hey! What'd you do that for?
Quentin dropped the trophy base and held the crystal ball up to his left ear, just like he'd hold a real football. He timed the man's movements, twisted his shoulders, and threw. Time slowed to nothing. He saw the crystal football ripping 20 yards through the air, a tight spiral kicking off a rapid-fire sparkle of rainbow flashes. He saw the crowd's expressions seemingly frozen, some in joy, some in surprise, some in concern. The rainbow spinning ball hit the man in the forehead, shattering into a sparkling shower of crystal chunks that for just a second looked like an exploding daylight firework. The man fell to his knees, blood sheeting down his face. Doc swooped toward the bleeding man, flying fast, orange and black streamers trailing behind in a nearly straight line. The man's Kraken's jacket drifted open. Around his waist, Quentin saw the shiny reflection of plastic wrap, and beneath the wrap, several tubes lined up in neat parallels. In the train car ahead, Virok Demeen looked right, saw the man, then dove over the train seat in front of him and threw himself on Greedock and Coach Hokor. Quentin saw Doc reach the man. Oblivious to the danger, the Hurrah's mouth tentacles reaching for the fresh wound. Doc wanted to help. That was all he did. Quentin watched the man's weak, numb hands fumbling at his waist, saw dozens of cops rushing in, cops that didn't know what was about to happen.
Down!
Quentin yanked Yitzhak to the floor. Pine was already diving over the seat back, deeper into the train car. The world filled with noise and crazy motion. The explosion hit the car like a wrecking ball, knocking it to the left where it cleared the lev track and crashed onto the street. The car's left edge dug into the road's surface, sending up a shower of sparks before it tilted, throwing Quentin, Yitzhak, and Pine over the pedestrian barrier and into the packed crowd. Quentin's solid weight crashed into a dense throng of bodies. He was up and moving as soon as he landed. This wasn't the first time he'd been near a suicide bomber. He knew that they often attacked in teams. Life on Mykobi had taught Quentin many things, but one thing in particular. On a football field, speed kills. When bodies are blowing up around you and you need to get away, speed means life. Quentin ran. His 7-foot-tall, 380-pound athletic body, a warning to any sentient foolish enough to get in his way.